by living that gospel. Amen? Because he tells us in Matthew. Matthew, let's see here. Matthew 24. Again, just to encourage us today. In verse 32 of 24, Jesus is talking to us. He said, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Because heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall not pass away." Again, just reminding ourselves, guys. This word that you hear, this word that you listen to, this word which is Jesus Christ, it will never change, it will never pass away. You cannot go wrong by following Jesus. Amen? The things in the world can go wrong because someday all these things are going to pass away. But one thing that's going to stand forever and ever and ever is the Word of God. And as we follow that Word, we're standing on that Word, we're obedient to that Word, we speak that Word, we'll never go wrong with that. Again, to be encouraged. I know a lot of you are trying to be shaken right now by friends and family. They mean well, maybe. They think you might be a lunatic because you're following Jesus. They might think that, man, something's wrong with you now because you're not doing the things you used to do. You're not quite as fun as you used to be. And they're trying to find out what's wrong with them, you know. Do you need to be committed somewhere, okay? Listen to me. But I'm telling you what, we're not of the world. We're just in the world, okay?
We got a different type of joy.
Amen. Friday night was one of the different type of joy. Wow, all night long I didn't have one drink. You know that? Woo, I didn't get one bar fight Friday night here. You know what I'm saying? I woke up Saturday morning, I remember what I did Friday night. See what I'm saying? Okay. But people will try to convince you that what you believe and what you're doing, man, you're just kind of weird. I mean, they're saying, I believe in God. But man, you just take it too far. Wow. Oh. Anybody ever hear that? And maybe some of you do. Jesus freak is another thing. Man, it was a Jesus. Everything. Jesus. But man, what is there outside of Jesus? Time is so short. Time is so short for His return. And we want to have so many souls for Him, our loved ones and people. And we got to realize that when they say that to us, do not get mad at them. Amen? Pray for them. Don't get mad, because we was all there probably one time or other. You know, unless you were born. Well, you can't be born again, but you're born. I mean, yeah. Some folks come to the Lord a lot sooner in life, so you have a lot less examples to preach from. And luckily, I didn't get born again at 43, so God gave me a lot of years to preach about. You know what I'm saying? But He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that day and hour no one knows, not even the angel of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For in the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark." Okay? So again, encouraging today. I know a lot of you can quote this backwards and forward, but say, listen, the things that's going on today, the pervertedness and the ugliness and the sinfulness running rampant, is nothing different than even in the days of Noah, they had that. And Noah kept saying, "Hey, come on, repent, come to God." 120 years he put her out there, okay? And they didn't listen to him. But he kept warning them. Why did he do that? Because God caught him. God told him. Amen? What are we told to do?
Same thing.
The same thing. Yes. The same thing. And I imagine some of those back in the days of Noah, he couldn't be called a Jesus freak at that time, but a God fanatic, or, you know, because they all had a bunch of gods back then, but they didn't know Jehovah. Okay. So he would have the same turmoil, the same bickering. He would have feelings also. Noah would. You understand that? But he, huh?
Common man.
He's a common man, yes. And the Bible says no temptation come against us. It's not common before. So he would have that. I mean, he would say, man, my buddy that you hang out with, don't hang out with him anymore. Okay, but But I'm sorry for them, but I'm following Jehovah. He's called me. I've heard his voice. I know he's true. And he would probably, no, not probably, he would love them so much that he would continue to tell them, hey, come on, come on, a flood's coming. The sky's going to open up. It's going to rain. The man had never rained before. Tell me the sky's open. Well, oh, come off it. It's the same way today. Nothing's different, guys. When we say the Lord is coming for His church, when we say, hey, the dead in Christ, one of these days, the graves is going to open up. Those who fell asleep believing in Jesus, man, the graves open up, their soul and spirit's coming back. They're going to be reunited. And then they're raised up. Those of us who are alive, who are following the Master, that are truly sold to Him, boom, we're going to be changed out of here. Then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And I'm telling you, when you share that with people, they think you're nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
But is it the truth?
Yes.
Is it, do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. If you believe that, you can share that. Okay. Just like Noah, when you know that you know God is real, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for our sin, that He rose up again, He's coming back again. You know you repented from your sin, you received Him as your Savior and Lord, and now you're following Him. Man, get ready, guys. Get ready. We want to share that. And Noah did it time and time again. And look, for 120 years now, he had relatives. He had his great-grandfather, I think it was Methuselah. And he died right before he got on the ark. I think he buried him, according to history, he buried him 7 days before he got on the ark, Methuselah. And so he had others out there who was followers, who believed in Jehovah, but they were called home before he got on the ark. Okay, and Methuselah, the name Methuselah means when the flood comes or when the water comes. Did you know that?
No.
Isn't that amazing? Noah would have known that.
Yeah.
He would have known that. But amazing, just the words, you know. And so God has a habit, or at least by looking at that, bring home the righteous. The elderly ones before He brings the rest. And I always thought, and again, this is not in the scripture, but I always believe one of the barometers we had here in this generation is a day when Billy Graham goes home to the Lord.
Right.
To me, I always thought that once he goes home, I'm telling you what, things are speeding up and he is coming for us. You know what I'm saying? And then look how things are really getting uglier and uglier all the time. But be marrying and partying and talking about Jesus to people, and they keep blowing you off, they don't want to listen to you. And it seems like the more that you share, the worse the world gets. Look at the world today. Look how ugly it is. Well, that is encouragement to us, knowing that our battle is just about over with.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be, I'm not that much of a historian, but get some of the battles in the world that was going on that our men and ladies have fought. The closer you got to the city to capture it, the more encouraged you was. Almost there, a couple more miles ago, another mile to go. Encourage, keep on fighting, keep on going. Encourage you, want to come, we'll make it. We'll make it. Imagine Joe and Bob out there together. Been through battle for several years, and then now you're grabbing each other. Come on, Joe, you can make it. And Bob said, hey, we can make it. And come in together. You might be limping. Might even have to crawl your way in there, but you go in that city because, man, that's what you're called to do. And that's the way some of the Christians we are today. You know what I'm saying? We're getting close. Some are starting to drag a little, but we're still moving, ain't we?
That's right.
We are still moving. Or we might not be able to get up and run around like we used to. We can't go to every place. Every place we want to go, we can't go anymore. We want to go here. No. Now we're getting more and more refined, maybe to our chair at home. What better place to pray from than our chair at home? What better way to talk to the Lord in our chair at home? Say, okay, boom. Our dear sister who's in heaven today, Judy Corin, she had a prayer room. If y'all know what I'm talking about, you have a war room, you go over there and pray. She couldn't get out of her chair, so she had a war chair. And she had a book. She opened up a notebook, and she had all her prayers in there and the verses she was praying. Right there from her chair, she prayed for her family, she prayed for people until the last hour of her breath. Never once Did I ever hear her pray for herself? Now, I prayed before I laid hands on her. Lord, just keep her strength. Keep her going. Lord, till you decide it's time. But she kept praying for those here and coming behind her. Clear up to the day that she stepped into heaven. And those prayers continue forever and ever and ever. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. He says, they were giving a marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They did not understand. Did not understand. None of them did. Wow. The great thing today, the different thing that we have that Noah and that day did not have, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. It's that Holy Spirit that penetrates the hearts of men. It's the words that we speak. They are our weapon. They are on fire. They will penetrate the hearts and the minds of people to bring them to a greater understanding. Amen? That's the difference. That's why you might say, well, why should I keep telling people? If Noah did it, and you see right there, they didn't understand. Okay. Because we're under a different covenant. We are under now. We are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The same Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave lives in us. So when you speak God's Word says it won't come back void. Amen?
Yeah.
So what we have to do is make sure we don't go weary and quit. Don't. Some of you guys never quit on me. You kept praying for me. You know? You always maybe felt welcome when I came around. Yeah, I'm not sure what you said about me when I left, but just knowing there's somebody else that needed Jesus and stayed encouraged and to share that. But the Master tells us, then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. And two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. And you got two ways of looking at that. You can see in Noah's day, when he entered the ark, you might say, well, he was taken away from destruction. Or you can say that those who were left was taken away into destruction. You follow me? The waters took them away. Amen. So the same way with the scripture here. When it said two men walking in the field, one was taken and one was left. Okay, so one taken away is taken into the tribulation, and we are left with the Lord. Either way, however you want to look at that, we'll be out of here, gone. Amen. Is that confusing people there? Because some people go back and forth. Well, some people. I mean, this is Scientology coming up now. I'll just give you a heads up. They take this. If they play with it at all. And they say, well, he'll take the evil people out of the world. Follow me on that, okay? Because your presence with Christ in you around people who are not born again makes them miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. Even if you don't say nothing at all, that spirit was inside of you. You just, You ever know, don't look at each other, but you ever know somebody just been around them, just they get on your nerve? Okay, husband and wives look at each other. But see, in the spirit realm, our spirit realm is more real than our physical. And so when you walk in a room, that spirit of God in you, it can cause a lot of offense to people, and they don't even know you. They never met you before, and they just can't stand you. That conflict, okay? So, and the teaching is that someday, all the bad people are going to be taken out of here. And we'll have a great time on earth. What they're saying is someday these Christians will be gone. These haters will be gone out of here. And we continue in our sin and rejoice and have a great time. And I have someone writing about it all the time is what they're saying. And that's exactly what they're saying. Okay? In California, I mean, although our laws start in California, they're passing laws now where you can't speak about homosexuality. And also where they want to monitor ministers, pastors, preachers, sermons to not speak against homosexuality. And it's starting in California. And folks, everything that starts in California normally comes this way.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, I don't know why they just pick out one sin. Sin is sin. The Bible says we've all sinned, right? We all need deliverance. Whether it's homosexuality, or whether you're addicted to pornography, or whether you're a liar or a thief. Wow. Out of love, we share that. Out of love, you share that. God shares that. That's God's love. But they're going to label it hate. Hate speech. And I'm telling you, normally it starts there, rolling this way. I think California is a lot behind the marijuana movement and stuff like that, you know, and all that, LSD back in the days. Anyway, that is what's materializing. Can label us to be haters. Sharing God's love. So now it goes back to you and I. How do we share His love? If it's lovingly, we're doing it the right way. If we're doing it out of hatred, we're not doing it the right way. You know what I'm saying? And I know sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we just get so aggravated. But we need to have a righteous anger that motivates us, but not to sin. And I know sometimes be protesting going on for something, whatever it might be, and they're whatever it is, sin they're in, they're protesting it. And then we'll come alongside of them and scream back at them, "No! You're going to hell!" That never saved anybody. Amen? It never has. It has never. No one ever told me in my days, "You're going to hell." And all it did made me mad at them. "Who are you to judge me?" Amen? Yeah. So, but what they want to do, the enemy wants to get you to cross that line. He wants you to get so aggravated, keep poking at you all the time. He wants you to cross that line to where your sin, or next thing you know, you open your mouth up and someone's videotaping it. Amen? And that thing hits Facebook and says, "Oh, what kind of Christian are you?" Okay? They don't see all the other stuff that led up to it. That's why we have to be, again, prayed up. Know what the battlefield is. Our battle is done on our hands and our knees praying, and not in a physical confrontation. That's not to go after it. Amen?
Yeah.
I say that to say this. Doesn't mean you can't defend yourself. Hear me, church? Mm-hmm. Okay. But to go out after a battle. I mean, I shared before in our school, you put the gloves on, couldn't you, Chuck? Get somebody you don't like? Come on, let's put the gloves on. And then they would. That they would take you down to the gym, you put your gloves on, boom, 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 boom. Okay. You knew that when you put the gloves on, unless you're really, really good, you're going to get hit. Okay. Well, it's the same way. We stepped into a battle. We know that. We know if we understand that if the enemy is raging and he is trying to get you off balance, to get you to come out in anger, if you go down there, that's what's going to happen. So what should you do? Not go down. You follow me on that? Not to go down there for a physical confrontation. It should never, ever be. It's one thing to go down, someone's yelling at you, cussing at you, and you say, "Well, you know, God loves you. Here's a pamphlet. I don't need that." Yes. We share His love. But we don't go in there for a physical. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers and principalities. A lot of times those that is our enemy, that's how they were raised. They don't know yet. And so we are been called to show God's love through love. And look what all the master went through. If anyone had the right to thump somebody, Jesus had the right, did He not? I mean, look what He went through. And so He is our example. He is our example of how we need to live our Christian life. How to share the love. If somebody rejected it, okay, but he shared it with them. You know? I never heard anyone, and I haven't read all of Josephus, the great historian of that day, but I never heard anybody that Christ brought back to life turn around and cuss them out. No. I haven't. We were called to bring life to the world through Jesus. And once we get back to life, they're going to embrace you. Amen? Amen. And we got to look at the end results. Not our life, but His life leading through us. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One be taken and one be left. Or today it might be two women doing dishes together, or you're hanging laundry out, or whatever it might be. And that's how quickly this is going to take place. There's not going to be any signs. There's not going to be any type of a warning taking place. The only sign He's given us is in the book. And He said about the fig tree. He said, when the branches have become tender and they shoot forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. And also He says back in, I think it's in Mark, I think it is, that when the fig tree blooms again, He says that generation will not pass away. Right. And the fig tree is talking about Israel. So when Israel becomes a state, because from 70 on up, they were not a country. And He says, when they bloom again, and they bloomed in 1948, they become a state. And in generations, about 70 years, He said, that generation that witnesses that will not pass away. So we're right there in the middle of it, okay? We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the time and the season, don't we not? Yeah. We know that. And so that is told to us, encourage us not to give up, not to surrender, not to compromise. Because it could be today. Coming for the church, it could be today. Are you ready, I ask you today? Are you ready if the Lord come today? Or is there something in your mind, something in your life that you're hanging on to? Some type of sin that you just got a hold of you? And man, you got to get rid of it. Let Christ just give it to the Lord. What I mean by give it to the Lord, surrender your life to Him. Amen? Truly follow Him. It's awesome to come to church. It's awesome to hear the Scriptures. It's awesome to hear the miracles. Okay, but if we don't do what He says, accept Him as our Savior, Lord, and turn away from our sins, we're not going to heaven. It's that simple, you know. And God doesn't want that. He wants us all to be with Him now and for eternity. We have to make up that decision. And I know today is so difficult because we are told so many different things anymore. We are told that, you know, sin is okay, that live your life the way you want to, God is a God of love, and it goes on and on and on. And that's why it's so awesome what you guys are doing today. Come in and hear the Word of God. And I give you the Scriptures to read. It's not Starkey's Law. It's God's Word. Okay, it's decisions to make. Now, you can be told by a used car salesman or someone selling a car a bunch of lies in order to get you to buy that thing. And going down the road pretty quickly, you'll find out whether he lied to you or not. Amen? Was I bring forth His Word? I give you the Scripture. You can look right there in the Word of God and say, well, that is true. That's what it says. I'm just bringing forth what he tells us to watch out for. Now, being born again is renewing our mind. That's what you guys are doing. I pray that you're renewing your mind. Because He's coming quickly. And last week we were sharing in 1 Corinthians, let's do the recap here just before I close up for today. That he said that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Talking to every one of you who are born again. He's saying, Paul's saying, hey, listen, everything is, I can do anything I want. But not everything is profitable. That's kind of strange. The minute you think of that, a born-again Christian, and Paul declares, hey, listen, everything, when he says lawful, he's saying, I can do anything I want to. But not everything is beneficial. Wow. Now, over here before I got born again, I couldn't say, before I got born again, I got drunk, I ran around with wild women, wild men, I partied, pornography, I lied, I cheated, okay, boom. But, when I heard that was sin, I gave my life to Jesus over here. Wow, now Paul says, I can do anything. Wow, I can do all this stuff now as a Christian, and it's not a sin. Listen, guys. Look at what he says. I can do all things, but not everything is beneficial. Why? Because the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So what he's saying, that you're free to choose to do whatever you want to. He said, I can do whatever I want to, Paul says. Okay? But it's not beneficial. So why would I want to do them? That spirit that lives inside of us. Wow. Will not have you do the things. But Paul is trying to get at, and God is trying to get at, is to make sure that you just don't have a checklist. And when it says, well, didn't lie today, didn't cheat. Well, I did that one. Okay. I didn't covet my neighbor's wife. Yeah, I see her. Okay. He's not saying, no. See, we're not under the law. If we was under the law, we'd have this checklist, okay? As a born-again Christian now, the Spirit of God's led us. We don't need the law anymore as a checklist, because that Spirit inside of you doesn't want to do that. Do you follow me? Now this is getting personal here. Real personal to you, because if you consider yourself a born-again Christian and all that stuff, you still have that desire without any impeding anything, and the Spirit of God is not in us. Amen? Okay? And so I can use the law today as a checklist for myself. Look at it. Or for one another. These are things that is not done by those who are born again. Okay? But just because I go through the list, I didn't do nothing like this today, I didn't do this, doesn't make me a Christian. Amen? It's the Spirit within inside of you. And the Spirit of living God is, you don't want to do that. You don't want to. And this is where people get so aggravated anymore when you share this. And we talked about that last week. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, he tells, again, just to make sure we understand this, that the unrighteous, of those who are not right standing with God, which means those who are, and any righteousness we have is through Christ, right? He said, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, effeminate, and that's men dressing like women, nor homosexuals, not thieves, the covetant, nor the drunkards, the revelers, the swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, he's telling us, if we do that, we're not going to inherit it. But he reminds us something though, guys. And such were some of you, or such was I. Mm-hmm. But I've been washed, I've been sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit. So I'm saying, if you're born again here, you came from somewhere. One of those areas is going to touch you. Like, yeah, that was me. That was my Bicky. Well, you're born again. Now, those who continue in these are born again and shall not see the kingdom of God. You follow me? Now, in Galatians chapter 5, it breaks it down a little bit more. Galatians chapter 5. And remember, we look at this as out of God's love. You got that, Carol?
Yep.
Go ahead and read them outside if you would.
It's Galatians 5, starting with 19.
Yes.
Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. And you know, the key word we share was those who practice those things. If you continue to do those over and over again, if you're practicing, you're trying to get better at your sin, and the Word of God says that you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Those who practice those things. Again, there's one thing to resist the devil, fighting, not to fall into temptation. So when temptation comes your way, it's normal. Satan will try to tempt you every which way that he can. But God says to resist him. Draw near to me, God says. Resist the devil, and I'll draw closer to you, and the devil will flee from you. Immorality means evil or bad character or behavior. Understand that. Immorality, sometimes we think, this culture anymore, everything we think of is always kind of like sex related. But immorality is evil, bad character, or behavior. Now, how much often do we see that anymore in politics? Do we not see that? I mean, look at it. I mean, it's even beyond politics. Individuals themselves.
Right.
How many people? Of course, nobody here. How many can name five honest people that you know in your circle of friends or people you know? Someone that never lies to you, never cheats you. Someone will never steal from you when you're back stern. They're hard to come by, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, wow. And today in society, all that stuff's been approved.
Right.
From the top to the bottom. And it's practiced. How many people listens to a politician and truly believe him? Some of them you can't, can you? Some of you hope. Amen. But anymore, we don't believe what they're saying. Because over the years, they say one thing and do something else. And whether they met well and they compromise. But again, evil or bad character or behavior. Impurity, is, of course, is very simple. It's being impure. Being simple. Okay? These are the things, again, God is telling us, man, if we were going to do these things, wow. So again, a barometer. Man, am I truly saved? You know, I pray, but have I? These things should be void in our life. Amen? Sensuality, indulgence in sensual pleasure. Something pleasing to the body. Lewdness. Quality of being very sexually or lustful in a very offensive way. Back in the day, a tease. People dressing provocative. Okay? That kind of stuff. I mean, there's a spirit that comes over people that they need people to look at them all the time. Okay? And, you know, ladies and men, you do the same thing. You know, I know the police officer a lot of time, you stop the lady and next thing you know, she gets kind of friendly or her voice or... maybe a couple of buttons come unbuttoned. Something just trying to persuade you. Okay, but guys, I mean, you do the same thing. Okay, that's wrong. Amen? Our dress should be where it doesn't cause someone, even tempt somebody to lust. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why I wore long sleeves today, guys. Ladies, I just, you know what I'm saying? But seriously, I mean, Bob's got short sleeves on. Ah, and you got two women sitting beside you. I see that. And I know the trend anymore is the more you show, the more people love you. Don't cover that body up.
You know, be
modest in our dress. So we got to make sure we're not exposing things. We got to make sure that. Yeah, it's very simple. We're not exposing things. We don't and don't have it just enough to tempt people. No. We don't cause anybody to sin. Amen. And again, especially folks, if you've got youngsters in the family and they want to get dressed and they want to wear this and this, No. You can't wear that. Why? Because it exposes them. Everybody else is doing it. Amen? I mean, but folks, we need to train our youngsters in the ways of the Lord. And they're going to be rebelling against you. If your youngsters at home rebel against you all the time, you're doing a fantastic job. Amen? You're doing a fantastic job if you're using the Word of God as a guideline. And so don't give up. Just stay in the course. I'm telling you what, 10 years from now, they're really going to appreciate it. They're going to look back and thought, you know what? My parents were kind of strict on me. I couldn't go here. I couldn't wear this. I couldn't listen to this. I couldn't do that. Yeah. Look how much they loved me. Because we know when we're younger, we look at somebody's parents. They can do anything. I was there, my mom and dad. They don't have a curfew, man. They can do it. They can drink beer. They don't care. Parents buy them cigarettes. Mine, I can buy my own. You know,
and sneak.
We look at all that. Wow. But then you look back 10 years later, you think, man, look how much my parents loved me. Yeah. You know, even though they might be strict in what you thought, I mean, somewhere in there was a concern for you. Amen? Yeah. And that's the reason right there. Idolatry. You know, it means, according to Webster, it's the worship of idols, or excessive devotion to, or reverence for some person or thing. An idol is anything that replaces the one true God. It says that most, huh?
Even yourself.
The most prevalent form of idolatry is, in Bible times, was the worship of images that were thought to embody the various pagan deities. And again, this is one of the top ones that you'll run into. Idolatry. People worship other people. You know, I don't worship them. I'm telling you about people. Not only they worship athletes, they worship musicians, they worship themselves. Amen? Movie stars. What takes the place of God in our life? Yeah, well, everybody knows John Wayne. Well, I knew him, you know, yeah. You went to school with him? Yeah. So did Carol. Yeah, yeah. John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford. But, well, this is a lot of folks are in the political ring today, okay? If you're getting your direction in your life from John Wayne, or Harrison Ford, or Robert De Niro, or anyone, and not God, there's not idol for you. Think of that. Anytime that we quote a movie star and is in conflict with the Word of God, we got an idol. Okay? Now you might say, you can quote John Wayne, you know, John Wayne said this, you know, and that's exactly what God said in the Old Testament. Man! Okay? But anytime our direction comes in conflict with God's Word, that thing has got a hold of your heart. And God says, I am a jealous God. I'll have no other gods before me. And we're talking when it comes to the conflict of God's Word. Anybody follow me on that? We can be blinded at times. We have a blind loyalty. And no matter what somebody says, they said it's got to be true. Our loyalty has to be to God and God only. What controls most of your time? What controls most of your day? Where do you spend your energy at? Okay? Just check yourself again. Is it really God? Or is God getting a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and that's it? Sorcery. Use of evil supernatural power to control, influence people with all evil spirits and witchcraft. Okay? So, the Bible even tells you this. Rebellion against the Lord is the same with witchcraft. Hear me? Think of that. Rebellion. Well, I don't rebel against God, okay? Is there things that you don't do that God says to do? You're rebelling. That's the same as witchcraft. And he's saying right here, okay, these are the things. Those who practice such things shall not see the kingdom of God. Again, encourage you that you want to do. A relationship with God through the Son Jesus is not a list of things that I can't do.
Right.
It's what I can do with Christ. I get to do this. Man, if there's a sin in your life or something that you want to entertain, man, I'd love to do this today, but man, I can't. The Bible says not to. Man, we got it wrong. We don't want to. Look at this and say, God say, man, this is the thing that breaks my heart. This is what breaks my heart, man. Witchcraft breaks my heart. You rebelling against my word breaks my heart. You reading your horoscopes in the morning, it breaks my heart. Oh. Oh, and witchcraft sorcery goes into the pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
It goes into pills, drugs, alcohol, all that stuff. All comes on sorcery. Man, he said, that breaks my heart. You choose this over me. Okay? Again, he's not talking about your medication. Okay? Don't get yours. He's talking about illicit abuse. Okay? All this stuff wrapped up. And I knew there used to be at one time, I don't know if it's still popular anymore or not, but the horoscopes used to be, I mean, everybody's reading the horoscopes all the time. Well, I'm a Libra, I'm a Capricorn, I'm a turtle or something like that, you know. And well, I don't believe it, I'm just going to look at it. You know, I don't believe it, you know, I'm just going to read it. Don't! Because we saw last week, we said that bad company corrupts good morals. Yeah, like, well, I don't believe this stuff. I was going to look at it. Okay, that's like saying, well, you know, I don't believe in lusting, but I'm going to look at her naked body. You know what happens when you do that? Huh? I mean, yeah. Let's take the horoscope for a second. You read it and it says, today you will meet a. Oh wait, that's a Chinese. Anybody remember back in the days when you used to read them? What's the horoscope tell you? I mean, how did they? What kind of day you have? Like, you're going to meet a strange, dark, handsome man? Or Okay.
Yeah.
You read it, okay? And then this thing that you've been praying about happens that day. Wow, thank you. Ooh, wait, my horoscope said the same thing. Just that much. He said, well, I was going to read it tomorrow and see how accurate it is. You see how it happens, guys? And he's saying right now, don't do it. Because that's easily you get sucked into it. Okay? And many of you might be able to testify here, but I'm going to say it. When I smoked my first cigarette, I never smoked with the intent to be addicted to them. Boom. Many people will say the same thing about beer. If you've ever been addicted to alcohol, you never drank your first beer, now I'm going to be addicted, or your whiskey. You smoked your first joint, took your first pill. You never thought, well, I'm just going to try it out. And what happens is it gets one little thing inside of you, gets a hold of you, and next thing it consumes you, okay? It will consume you. God said, don't touch these things, because He knows what will happen to us. God knows more about us than we knew about ourselves. That's why I say, man, don't do this because, man, it'll get a hold of you. And if you decide you're going to hang into that, man, you have no part of me. Not that He doesn't want to be. He can't. That separates me from Him. He wants to be that center. And I know, oh, we battle back and forth. Oh, Jesus drank wine. Come on. He drank the fruit of the vine. Hear me?
Yeah.
Fruit of the vine. Go out there and squeeze a grape today. It's not fermented. Don't let them, you know, make your own decision on that. I'm just telling you, I mean, on your drinking. I'm talking about Jesus. When He picked up that cup, He said, this cup represents my body. My blood. Was Jesus without sin?
Right.
Okay. Was Jesus ever going to die? Spiritually? No. If that wine was fermented, decaying, it could never represent Jesus' blood. So it was the fruit of the vine that He made. Fruit of the vine. But I know we'll grab that some folks and try to justify being drunk all the time. And I just want to tell you, if you don't have a habit yet of smoking, drinking, smoking dope, taking pills, don't start.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, you'll get a hold of you and be like living in hell on earth. And God doesn't want that. And if you have that today, if you're wrapped up in that day, God will set you free from that. He'll give Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord will set you free. He'll set your mind free. He'll set every aspect of your life. He'll set you free from it. He'll do that as He comes into your life and you totally surrender to Him. He'll do that, guys. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Ammonites is another name of it. It says, deep and bitter hatred, usually shared between enemies. Hatred between people. Again, flesh and blood is not our enemy, right? Power of the principality. It's Satan that we don't want. We got to recognize our enemy. Strife is bad relationship between people. Actually, today, man, do you have a bad relationship with people? A certain person? And you might say, well, yeah, I'll tell you about... No. We're going to bring it down to one-on-one. Do you have a bad relationship with somebody? No, but I got people that have a bad relationship with me. You see the difference? Try this again. Let's say, Gail, can I pick on you a second? Now, I want to say this today. I should have said it many times. When I'm preaching and, if, and I'm, I got a thought in my head, I'm looking at you, I might grab you for an illustration. Please don't ever think that I'm talking about that person. If I'm talking about their personal life. Listen to me, guys. If I say, Jim, and I pick on you, and I say something, and, wow, I have no idea. Okay? I just have a habit of being an illustrated preacher. So please don't ever think, man, you called me out of that, I'm never coming back again. Because I don't ever mean to do that, okay, guys? If there's something I need to talk to you about, we do it in private, okay? If I step on your toes and you think something's going on, see me after the service, please. But anyway, going back to Gail. Let's say Gail cannot stand me. She can't be around me no more. If I meet her on the street, she crosses the street. You know? And Bob said, well, Starkey, do you have any bad relationship with people? No, I don't have any bad relationship with nobody. Gail, she has a bad relationship with me, but I don't have one with her. I choose to live at peace with all people. Amen? Mm-hmm. Same way with Gail, everyone in here. You have people that rub you the wrong way, but choose what the Master says to live at peace with all people. Don't let them rub you that way. Don't let them get under your skin. No, I mean, I'm born again. Christ lives in me. My Master has been through a lot more than I've ever been through. Right. Amen? And so, he said, not to. I mean, and then, refrain from telling other people that other people don't like you.
Yeah.
Like Bob, you know, I said that openly like that, but, you know, hey, are you got any problems with Gail and all that? Nah, well, you know. Everybody's got issues. Well, let me tell you why she don't like me, Bob. I insulted her pudding she made one time, you know.
Oh,
but see, now we cross over to gossiping. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's another one we probably won't get today, but folks, gossiping. Please, listen to me. Gossiping will send people to hell quicker than anything. Recently, we had the opportunity, within a recent period of time, to pray with someone who was very sick. And as the prayer was finished, this person starts talking about somebody and running them down. So I'll tell you, no. They were passing on hearsay, degrading someone. I said, you just blew it.
Yeah.
You can't be gossiping. Amen, guys? I mean, bite your tongue. The temptation might come. The temptation is not a sin. Amen? Yeah. But when you open your mouth and engage it and start talking about people, it is. Okay? Now, it's one thing to share with the pastor. I got to be concerned with this person. That's one thing. But to degrade somebody around a group of people and start running around. No, because what, you know what's going to happen? We're all in a circle right now. We're all talking back and forth. And Kathy tells me that Opal didn't put enough brown sugar in her cookies. Oh. Kathy, I just think Opal should have a little bit more brown sugar in her cookies. I don't know if you eat brown sugar or not, okay? Wow. So, I go over here, Opal, hey, Opal, how you doing? Hey, a car club the other night. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what Kathy said about you? Kathy said you needed brown sugar, more brown sugar in your cookies. Oh, we liked them that way, you know? What did I just do? And I just brought strife.
Yeah.
Wow. See what I'm saying? We got to watch that, guys. Amen? Okay, one more, and we'll break bread. Jealousy. Ooh, jealousy. Unhappy or angry feeling wanting to have what someone else has. An unhappy or angry feeling caused by the belief that someone you love, could be a husband or wife, likes, or is liked by someone else even. Get upset, jealous because other people get things that you don't. God blesses them and you get mad. You should rejoice for them, yes, yes. And jealousy can even come between a husband and wife. Amen? Jealous. Hey, we should always rejoice. He sees somebody being blessed. Oh, God, that's awesome, man. Hey, look what the Lord did for me today. Give me a brand new car. I don't get one to drive my old Volkswagen home. I'll tell you what. Yeah, don't let that happen. Hey, awesome, great. I'm glad you got a new car. Great. Especially when your husband and I ride in it, you know. But rejoice over other people's uplifting. You know what I'm saying? Don't let jealousy get anything inside of it. Don't give it a root of nothing in your life. And it's easy to get jealous if you're living in a material world. Amen? That TV set tries to sell you stuff all the time. And you get jealous if you don't have it. Oh, I don't have that. Steve's got a brand new mower. I'm out there pushing mine back and forth, you know? Thank you, Lord, that Steve's got a riding lawnmower. I know his legs doesn't work very well. Thank you, and thank you, Lord, that my legs work, and I can still push my grass. Things like that. We just need to catch ourselves in that, guys, okay? Just make sure that we're not letting jealousy take over, not letting strife take over, not letting gossip take over. And again, that Spirit of the Lord inside of us, the desire won't be there. It should not be there, okay? And how do you recognize that desire? By what you're doing today, hearing the Word of God. Some things I might have mentioned today, oh man, I do that. Okay. Well, now you're aware of it. It's in your spirit. And it's going to say, are you sure you want to do that? Say that? Go there? Amen? Yeah. And that's what it's all about. That's how we grow. You know, we're born again. We accept Christ as a Savior and Lord. We follow Him. And today, as we continue to hear His Word, renewing our mind and following Him 100%. Amen? Amen. Question about today, guys? We're here to be encouraged and to grow in the Lord. Amen? Amen.